Well, hello there, and welcome to Arcadia. Chris Mark is here with you as always, and today is Thursday, July 3rd. We are recording live from Nea Plaja in Greece, which is about an hour south of Thessaloniki, in the northern portion of Greece. And I thought that with Independence Day in the U.S. coming up tomorrow, and many people looking for independence from their own government, I thought today would be a great day to just talk a little bit about some of the differences in a few of the countries I've spent time in over these past few years, or I guess really a little over a year now since I've left the U.S. And, you know, it's fascinating really seeing the way that people think differently in the different regions of the world. I left the U.S. and went first to the Netherlands, where I was there for about a year before then coming down south to Greece. And it's interesting in the way that a lot of the conditions or challenges that many Americans are facing right now, certainly government-related, I think there was a degree to which when I first left, I thought I was going to go somewhere else and everything would be completely different. And in certain ways, there are some differences. Of course, there are also a lot of similarities that have been pretty interesting to notice among all three countries, where it really points out that what we're facing is not a crisis that's specific to any one person, any one city, town, state, country, or government. Again, these things are affecting the entire globe. And when I say these things, referring to the conditions in the U.S. economies, and especially as it serves as the reserve currency, the global reserve currency, you see that we're really interconnected in a way unlike ever before. Certainly the internet's had a lot to do with that, where, I don't know, maybe 30 years ago, if you wanted to find out what's happening in China or Argentina, it was a lot more difficult to do that. Although in the same way, there are a lot of challenges today in that you can easily read or watch the news about what's happening in some of these other places. But what's really stood out to me is, at the same time that I've been studying and researching how a lot of the American media is heavily controlled and biased in, not in all cases, but certainly, I guess as best as I can put it, the former CIA director William Colby was rumored to have once said that the CIA owns every person of significance in the major media. So, you know, take that for what you will. I think there's a lot of truth to it, and that's, again, you know, again, just one reminder, I'd like to point out that by all means, please don't believe anything just because I say it. I mean, who, what do I know? I mean, I think the dollar's a Ponzi scheme. I sat there on Wall Street on a trading floor watching this entire saga unfold. And, you know, to me, buying gold and silver makes sense. There are a lot of other people who disagree, but really the point of all of these podcasts and articles and conversations or any of the information that I put out or Arcadia puts out, you know, again, is not for you to take what I say blindly as fact, because who knows, maybe I'm missing something somewhere. Maybe, you know what, maybe Obama actually has the solution. I have to acknowledge, I've seen enough in these past few years that I now completely acknowledge that anything is possible. Along those lines, I will acknowledge that it's possible that Obama is really genuinely inclined to help everyone, and he's going to fix everything, and everyone's going to end up with a unicorn at the end of the rainbow, and things will work out great. That's possible. I don't see it as being very likely. So, you know, what I think can be helpful, though, is, You just take all the information you hear, and certainly I like to think that we're providing a lot of valuable information that is indeed accurate, but I would encourage you to continue doing your research. Check the things that I say and see if they match up with your own experience and what you hear elsewhere. And because again, going back to the earlier point, was that it's really been amazing the more I dig into it, seeing how, what I believed as truth growing up my entire life in New Jersey and throughout the tri-state area, and certainly a very highly, centralized media area. And I think that, in the same way that when we're 3 years old, we look at our parents and we see them as the universe. So we believe what they say. And, and then later on, if we get stuck in front of the TV and we watch that stuff, then some of that seems believable too. Now, that doesn't mean that our parents were necessarily right about everything, or that the media is right about everything, or that I'm right about everything. So, worth keeping in mind that these are all these things that we hear are someone's interpretation or version of the story or how they see it. Hey, maybe someone tells the story one way when they're in a good mood, or if their wife yelled at them that morning, or something else happened and they're in a different mood. Maybe the quote comes out differently. And, again, that's why I think the actual life experience can be so valuable. And I've certainly found that to be the case with all three of these countries, the US, Netherlands, and Greece, that I can really, have some comparison. And, had more time rather than just being there for a vacation, but it actually living in each place and getting a feel for the things that we experience when we're actually living somewhere, which you can get sometimes if you're paying attention on, just a day or a week or a quick or even a month vacation somewhere, you can get a feel for, but it's interesting again seeing just the differences in each place, where I suppose, at least from a political economic standpoint, if I wanted to make a comparison between those three countries, let's see, perhaps a good way to describe it is that in the US, you have everything, which is sometimes good, is sometimes not so good. Obviously, you have, well, I don't want to say that this is the leadership of this whole governmental matrix, because when you take it to a level deeper and think about, well, was George Bush or is Barack Obama or Bill Clinton or any of these guys, are they really calling the shots, or at this point, are they answering to someone higher up above? Which I do believe is the case, that they are answering to someone higher up above, and that's a whole tangent that we'll refrain from getting into now, but certainly perhaps in a future podcast we can talk about more. Although the point being that I believe a lot of these people that they answer to are actually headquartered in Europe rather than the US, so anyway, a minor semantic difference, but back to just thinking about it from the US perspective, where you really have that whole range. You have the US government and CIA and all their various goon squads that are out, terrorizing and oppressing people and telling everybody what to do and how to grow their tomatoes and all the other stuff that you're already living it and know it, so we don't need to revisit here. But on the positive side, especially in these past couple of years, you've had the Ron Paul movement, big libertarian and offshoots of the libertarian ideas, whether it's voluntarism, the Tea Party, or which are all in a similar school, but just approaching it with their own personal different views and beliefs. And but still, to the degree that if you are seeing what's going on, if you're seeing that the money printing is a scheme, if you're seeing that Congress is selling off the medical industry, the military industrial complex, all these things to the highest bidder, certainly having that libertarian, and just for a lack of simplification, we'll call it the Ron Paul movement, which at least was often was a big part of my introduction. So how I think of it, and just use a simple label, we have that Ron Paul movement, which has a lot of people who are passionate and are very vocal and standing up against what they see happening. Now, when you go over to the Netherlands, it's different there because it's more, I guess if you were looking at a sound vibration, if you were a sound engineer and you look and you see sometimes you have the wave bands are really wide and sometimes it's a very tight spectrum. So the Netherlands, and if you can stay with me, I don't know if anyone caught my sound engineer analogy there, but I guess it's just you have a smaller standard deviation in the Netherlands where you don't have as much of the government in your face on a day-to-day basis. So if you perhaps, let's say that you have savings and you're just living in the Netherlands, that actually could be a decent upgrade in the sense that you don't have someone saying you can't stand on this part of the sidewalk, or you can't go here, or you can't go there. And it's actually funny. I remember one of the first few times I was in the Netherlands, I remember I was always asking people, can I do this or can I do that? And they would look at me like I was insane, thinking, why are you asking these questions? And then I realized it was because of the conditioning I've received, growing up in America my entire life. And just in ways that we don't even think about. Am I allowed to use the bathroom now? Can I go do this? Can I have lunch break? Where it's really, until I was able to step outside of it, was hard to really put in perspective and grasp just how regimented and controlling that US government can be. So in the Netherlands, you face a lot less of that, although you also don't really have the Ron Paul libertarian network. Now, there's certainly people who believe in freedom, and there's certainly people who believe in those ideas and are familiar with Ron Paul, but just to the extent where in the US you can find everything, you're not going to find as many people standing up to the government on a percentage basis in the Netherlands as you would in the US. Now, if you head a little farther down south and end up in Greece, again, certainly the government does the things that governments do, and maybe in terms of the level of oppression, you notice it more, but it's as if it's like it's just in a different presentation. I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that Greece really began their financial crisis in, when, I guess it was 2010, 2011, when I remember back at that time I was still on the New York Stock Exchange and would read about, Greece decides to extend bond package. Germans decide, no, we're not going to extend bond package. It was just like every day there was a different headline. Again, most of which had little to do with what's actually happening in reality, but still, you had a lot of focus on the Greek government going bankrupt, which it still is bankrupt. And I pray every day that eventually the Greeks will be freed from this Eurozone prison, which is not all that dissimilar from the dollar prison that is still controlling a large part of the globe. But it's interesting in that while you don't have the, so here you also don't have the Ron Paul movement. So you don't have a lot of people standing up and saying, let's do something about it. But at the same time, I would say that the awareness of really the influence of the banks and the governments, and that it's really all part of this Illuminati matrix, which, generally speaking, in the US, I mean, you hear very little about. It seems like there's very little understanding about. Whereas you go around Greece, and 9 out of 10 people, you talk to them, and they're like, yep, we know about Goldman Sachs. They're the ones who stuck it to us a couple of years ago. And which, fortunately, is, well, there's a great deal of sadness to that. Anytime people are being oppressed and taken advantage of by, whether it's a group of terrorists or a government or a banking cartel or sometimes all of the above, and you see that there's a better way of life available, you know, there's the good and the not so good to that. It's tough to watch. It's tough to see how so many people are being affected by what a certain group of people are doing. But then, from the standpoint that once you recognize any issue that you want to correct or what the issue actually is, and then you have the ability to do something about it, from that standpoint, it's really encouraging to see just the general awareness in Greece, and they're aware of the problem. You know, the next step is to take action and do something about it. I would say in some ways they're more aware of, not more aware. I mean, Americans are becoming very aware of the fact that there's some structural governmental issues. But I would say perhaps the Greeks are just more familiar with the details since they've lived through it on another level. Now, certainly Americans have lived through this on several levels. We have the dot-com bubble. You have the housing crisis in 2008, which I think we're still living through. I mean, some people say that was the beginning of the Great Depression, and we're just in another phase of it now, which I think is a reasonable way of describing it, or whether you're saying that you had the housing crisis and then when the dollar breaks, there's going to be a new crisis. I mean, we're talking about semantics at this point, but still, the however you look at it, what happened in 2008 was a wake-up call to many. That was a big turning point in my life and when I started realizing what was really going on. So, and that's something that I've found has been experienced around the globe, certainly in Europe, and as I've met people from even farther east since I've been in Europe, it wasn't like outside the US, people didn't notice the subprime crisis. I mean, that affected everywhere. And maybe a good way of phrasing it is just saying that the Greeks had the next round of their crisis in 2010 and 2011 when it became more clear that their government is bankrupt and a lot of the cutting back and the next round of recession has actually begun, whereas Ben Bernanke and the Federal Reserve just did everything they could to print over everything that they could find and print over, which made things look okay for the time being, but has really set us up for a much bigger bubble to collapse, which, again, I wish I could tell you the timing. And perhaps if there's one thing I've learned my lesson on these past couple of years is that just because something appears as if it's imminent doesn't mean that it's going to happen tomorrow. But I remain shocked that the banks have been able to hold things together for this long, you know, especially from my perspective, coming from a financial background and working as a trader. You know, and then really seeing what these guys are doing and all the different ways this thing is propped up. To imagine that it's still going on now is, it's almost hard to believe, but Whenever that happens, I think that you'll start to see it. Certainly, that will wake up another round of Americans, another round of people around the globe. And I think that, while the way it might happen is unfortunate, it's still a really good thing because, as a planet, what we have on our side collectively is the truth. And you have a really large percentage of the people being controlled by an incredibly minuscule small percentage of the people that are doing it basically by some very manipulative and secretive means. I mean, keep in mind that the way this works is by keeping you from knowing what's really going on. I mean, if the average person even knew a fraction of what their government's actually doing, they wouldn't be supporting these guys, is my opinion. And I mean, I can't even imagine what I don't know about yet, because it's one of those things where the farther down the rabbit hole you go, the more you just start to become amazed at what's going on and what else could actually be out there. Which again is a challenge that we're all facing. But the good news is that every time you have a conversation, or every time you notice something, or every time you stand up to something that you see that isn't right, and take one more step, or every time you share an article that helps somebody else to see what's going on, that maybe wants to see but just needs to be shown, or if you just understand someone's perspective. And the more we communicate, and that's what I've found as I've gone through these three countries, the more that you realize that each place, it's people. I mean, I always hear people say, well, the Americans did this, or the Iranians attacked that, or the Germans attacked here. And I think it's worth pointing out that no, this isn't the Americans or the Persians or the Germans. This is the American government, the Iranian government, the German government. And there's a big distinction there. And anyway, if nothing else, hopefully that encourages you to share this podcast and let your friends know, and hopefully just give you a little more inspiration to keep going, even when things feel challenging and you may not see that next step. But every day that we wake up, we're here, and I know that it's not always easy, but the choice we have is to, as much as possible, stay focused on the positive and what we can do. And in fact, I don't know, if this dates me, but if you're familiar with that old, I guess it was a 90s show called Quantum Leap, where the premise of the show was the main character, each episode, he would wake up in someone else's existence and have to solve some sort of challenge. And it was just as if, imagine if you were just transported to China, and all of a sudden you're in someone else's life. You're thinking, all right, how do I fix this? Where do I go from here? As if you just forgot everything else about the past, but had to start again. And that's really what I see more and more each day is like, where we have that option to think about what's happened, and to the degree that we can use the past productively and learn from it, of course, that's very important. But again, always. Maybe a good example would be thinking about the victims of the Bernie Madoff Ponzi scheme. Maybe some guy's about to retire, thinks he has a couple $1 million, and then wakes up the next day and finds out he's in debt, has a lot of bills that he doesn't know how he's going to pay. Now, obviously, I hope that no one is in that situation, although we know that these things happen. This is the, I mean, it's really essentially the same thing that's going to happen when the dollar collapses, and many people who thought they had savings in treasuries or dollar assets are going to find a similar challenge. And how we respond to that is really the only thing we have. Maybe the money's there, maybe it comes back, maybe it doesn't, but you know, our ability to let go of the past and think about what is simply the next best step going forward, it's a skill that I don't want to say is easy to develop, but you know, the more challenging situations we're put in, the more we're able to handle, and just something I think might be useful to keep in mind going forward, so that no matter what you face, I hope that that will help prepare you to handle it. And whether that means that at some point you decide to leave the U.S. and try life somewhere else, or if you decide to stay in the U.S., or if you decide to stay in another country that you may be in, because we do have a global audience, so I don't want to be speaking only to our American friends, but anyways, it's just worth thinking about that. There are ways in which we're all different in these different places, yet at the end, we're all the same in that we have, you know, hopefully our 2 feet and arms and a head and these things called emotions. And the better we learn to use all of these different tools that we have, I think that somewhere in there is the key to life and enjoying and having fun while we're here. So with that said, I hope this has been helpful today. And by all means, if you have questions about leaving the U.S. or really traveling to the U.S. or maybe it's interesting that a lot of the people I meet here actually want to go to the U.S. for job opportunities. And, you know, someone who left because before I had started this business and at one point was still thinking about where will there be jobs, thought the U.S. was going to be a very difficult place to find that. Although more and more I believe now that if you really want to provide value and offer service, there are always jobs available. It's just that this isn't what we've been trained to do, but that doesn't mean it can't be learned, and that's exactly what Arcady Economics is here to help with, so that whether it's the financial considerations or investments or just trying to figure out how you can go live somewhere and do the things that you love to do and also have an income coming in and get back to enjoying life, which I think is what we're all really going after on some level or another. And that's what we like to help with. And you can hit the subscribe button on this podcast, and we cover this every week and with new strategies and solutions. Again, you can go to the Arcady Economics website where there's plenty of information there, and feel free to contact us. And certainly if you're facing any challenges, let us know what's going on and we'll do what we can to help. And with that said, I hope that wherever you are today, you're having a beautiful day and feeling positive about the things that are going on in your life, and knowing that if you keep with it, you're going to be okay and you're going to figure out what it was intended for you to know. And with that said, I wish you a wonderful afternoon. Happy 4th of July to everyone out there, all Americans, whether you're home or abroad. And I hope tomorrow everybody has a happy 4th of July, whether you're American or not. And with that said, God bless you all, and thank you for tuning in again. I'm Chris Marcus, and we'll talk to you next time.